You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome. Join our regular team and maybe a few special guests as they give you the lowdown on movies, TV shows, games, or just whatever they want to talk about. It's the best of geek from week to week, live on Twitch and direct in your ears via the podcast.
Is it true? You once elicited a confession with nothing more than a piercing look.
With enough patience, a suspect will often interrogate himself.
Detective Landor, one of our cadets, hanged himself last night.
That's a matter for the coroner.
I'm afraid that's not the end of it. His heart was carved from his chest.
What type of fella could do this?
It'd have to be
a madman.
Needed to decipher this.
Rumor has it there are instructions for immortality.
Someone there?
Another cadet is missing.
Poe, I need you to discreetly infiltrate the cadets.
What is this?
Blood, symbols, rituals.
Oh, my Lord.
Man will do most anything to cheat death.
Where are the facts? Where are the simple facts? The truth!
I believe the dead haunt us because we love them too little.
No closer to finding who's responsible for this than we were a month ago.
We are closer. It's only a matter of time.
Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary, and then I considered where I was getting silly. That's the poem, Never What. Hello, and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome and Poetry Recital Class with me, your host, D. Nefgala Poe.
I don't know what's happening right now.
Yeah, we do.
But you're
we
going, I can't follow
you
Mr.
Can't
Frodo.
Follow. I haven't, like, you know. Here we are again. Hello and welcome, like, to the Periodic Table of Awesome. We are here, and my name is Dion, and I am joined today by you three lovely people. Five, sir, and the Raven. I may have taken a bit
Never
of...
Never more.
Yeah, those ones. Hello, introduce yourselves, please. Go ahead. Quinny, what's your name? Why are you here?
Distinctly, I remember it was the bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Yes, I've got the poem next to me.
Right.
Cheater.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Okay, I will read from it nevermore.
Yes. You sure?
Hi, I'm Quinny. How are we all? Are we good? Are we good? Are we happy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Apparently, I've had too much speed, so I'm just going to run through the speed round of introductions. Jill, there's Jill. Say hi, Jill. How are you going?
Hello. Yeah. Hello. I've not prepared any poetry.
And then finally, Peter, our poet laureate today.
I also have not prepared any poetry, but I did just accidentally find that Netflix has set up a website for Nevermore Academy. And it's okay. Not recorded.
Oh, what is this doing here? Oh, it's useless. Okay, never mind. Moving on.
America's favorite goth.
Wednesday, isn't it?
Yes.
America's favorite goth poet has finally got his chance to shine in an origin story. What the fuck? Yes, today we...
Let's rename this film Edgar Allan Poe, Origins.
Origins.
Oh, no.
Tonight we're talking about The Pale Blue Eye, singular, that you can find. Yeah. Because I made that mistake on all of the stuff and titles before. Nope. Until Jill's like, it's eye, not eyes.
Singular.
No, but there's got to be more than one because we have two. Anyway, on Netflix. And this is going to, like, I mean, come on, look at this thing. I didn't understand where it came from. And then I realized
They were giving the opportunity for Christian Bale to play another detective, and he didn't have to wear the silly costume. But he did have
he did more detective work in this one than Batman ever did in any movie.
Yeah, and they gave him a goth Robin.
Goth Robin.
Yes. They gave him a weird looking goth Robin. And I kind of like a bit low key, like, that's kind of funny. Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm down for that pitch, whoever got that through. Yes. Netflix's The Pale Blue Eye, which I think was quite a good addition to the streaming services, because I'm not sure I would have quite enjoyed this on the big screen.
Ooh, it's very bleak and slow for a cinema watch, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think I could have concentrated at the cinema.
See, I'm the other way around. I think I would probably have given this probably more attention in a cinema because it is slow and it is, you know, cold and takes its time to tell its story. And I know I'm more likely to not double screen. Well, I'm fucking, I can't, I won't, will not double screen in a cinema. And, you know, I won't get distracted and go into the kitchen and make coffee or anything like that in a cinema. Whereas this is one of those ones where I was like, okay, I'm going to pause it for a bit. I'll go grab something, come back. And I don't know. I don't know. Is that, what's the sign of good cinema?
Well, okay, this is not where I thought this was going, but all right, I'm down for it. We were all like, it's been really tired, been big day, like huge things, well, no problem. But no, what is cinema?
What is Thanks, the good cinema?
Just the simple questions for tonight. Did you enjoy this? No, what is cinema?
Well, okay, recently I watched Tar, the film with Cate Blanchett.
Yeah.
And it was long and quite slow and very smart and, you know, interesting. But I thought if I'd been watching this at home, I would have, you know, started double screening. I would have been doing all sorts of other shit. And actually, I think our producer Felicity shared a thing recently about the contract that you make when you go into a cinema, which is I'm not going to talk to anyone. I'm not going to look at my phone. I'm actually going to have a full experience with the film in front of me. And I don't know. I feel like there's a part of me that I think I maybe would have enjoyed this more if I'd been in the cinema.
I don't know if I could have handled watching Henry Melling's giant face that large for most of the film. But I mean, that's also a thing that I have to refer back to Harry Potter. Like, I mean, good on Henry Melling. From Dudley to this. Dudley to Do Right. There we go. From Dudley to Do Right. That's the way I'm going to call it.
You're just a catchphrase going somewhere to happen. Yeah. Don't you,
yes. Nothing. Best descriptor. That's it. That should be on my tombstone. A catchphrase looking for a place to happen.
Look, there are some movies that I would go to the Dendy to watch, and there are other movies that I go to the Blockbuster cinemas to watch, and this would be a Dendy movie, but have to be in the mood for a Dendy movie.
Yeah, this is very
good way to categorize it. Yeah.
So this is very definitely a palace kind of cinema for me. Palace or Dendy?
Or a Dendy.
I want a large wine and a fancy choc top in order to watch this film. Like, exactly. That's fine.
Yeah. The access to alcohol makes all the difference.
And so how do we categorize the fact that I watched most of this film on my phone on a plane?
Oh,
just the way it was intended.
The way Nolan intended. Yes,
it's called the Nolan way. And he would have been proud. He's like, yes.
Jim Cameron is just rolling over in his watery grave.
Well, I plan on watching Avatar 2 on a Game Boy Advance. So.
I couldn't multi-screen because I only had one screen on me.
Oh,
sure.
I had my full attention for an hour and a half of it, and then had to wait till I got home to watch the rest of it.
Right. So,
and I have to say, on a small phone screen, it's a pretty beautiful movie. Aesthetically,
no, it is absolutely.
It's very nicely shot.
Yeah.
Yes.
is...
It's got very Poe-y aesthetics.
So Poe-y. So much Poe.
Well, let me tell you, on a big TV screen, it also looks very pretty too. And I would have loved to have seen it in a cinema to see that projected, because I do think visually it's a very, very pretty film.
Yeah.
I found a lot of the visuals a bit jarring, but I think that's more of the time period that it was set, and that doesn't give anyone a frame of reference until we know what the film was about. And I'm looking at you, Quinny, as our resident synopsizer. I'm guessing.
I'm a reader. Synopsizer.
Well, you've got all the best accents, so that's why you're the one.
Oh, do you want this done?
Can you give us 1800s upstate New York accent?
Ooh, give us mid-Atlantic. would you like some music?
Ye
'Cause music?
I would love some music.
Very naked gunning.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
At West Point Academy in 1830, the calm of an October evening is shattered by the discovery of a young cadet's body swinging from a rope just off the parade grounds. An apparent suicide is not unheard of in a harsh regiment like West Point's, but the next morning an even greater horror comes to light. Somebody has stolen into the room where the body lay and removed the heart. A world-weary detective is hired to investigate the murder of a West Point. Stymied by the cadet's code of silence, he enlists one of their own to help unravel the case. The young man the world would come to know as Edgar Allan Poe.
By way of Texas there, Quinny.
Yeah, I don't know where it went. I don't know where the fuck that went. It was just like,
he's just a good old boy doing something.
I don't know where that was. It just started somewhere. And
just doing some detectorizing in upstate New York. Hee-haw.
Yep. I don't know where it was like it. But then again, does anyone know where the accents in this show were from? Because 18th century America probably should have sounded a lot more like England and a little less like, I don't know, whatever the fuck.
It's not even 18th century, it's 19th century. And this is kind of one of the things that I found a little bit jarring against it, because it comes from a time period I am completely unfamiliar with, which is rural America in the early 1800s, like 1830. You know, which I say early 1800s, and I still consider myself in early 2000s, and you know, the early 2000s is 2020. I'm like, we're so advanced, and then like, you know,
people but are like West Point is not rural America, but I guess maybe in the 1800s,
yeah, like in the 1830s, it is very rural,
Yeah, and it's only 50 years after the rebellion.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those kind of weird things. And I love the fact that most of the cast in this are not American, which is quite funny.
In fact, almost none of them are.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of weird. Like, yeah, there's Timothy Spall. Like, wait, what? You sound nothing like Timothy Spall.
Yes. Where's your son? Good old Toby Jones. Yes. You know, British as they come.
Yeah.
Yeah. Toby Jones. And then who else have we got in there? Like Harry Melling isn't American. Gillian Anderson, is she Canadian? But she's been living in England. She's basically a Britoner now.
Yep.
Christian Bale is not American.
Yeah, exactly. It's like all of this
Welsh thing. Of all fucking places. Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Didn't know that, did you?
No, I didn't.
It's well shot of everyone. Yeah, but it's a strange time period. I'm not very familiar. Is anyone else is familiar with it? Could you say...
I mean, not at all.
No.
Familiar with what?
Like just familiar, familiar with that time period. Like, can you see like any other film? Is like, oh yes, I remember. See, in 1815, this happened. I'm like, nah, no idea.
I mean, there were a lot of great poets that came out of that era.
Yeah, but they still didn't have flushing toilets inside. Like, this is the stuff I can't get around. Like, great poetry, but you still basically lived in squalor, with an outdoor long drop.
Yes, but at the same time, not because, you know,
exactly.
It does sort of have that thing of being modern-ish enough,
yeah.
But it is that thing that it's built up enough that, like, obviously a lot of people have been through West Point has history.
Yeah.
It's got its own sort of ways of doing things and ways of solving its own problems and everything. But at the same time, it feels like it should be new and shiny. Yeah. But it's
I mean,
not.
You know, for contextual things, I just quickly looked up the stuff that went on in 1830. And I just quickly look at it. It's like, well, the founding of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the writing of the Book of Mormon happened in 1830.
Wow.
You know, just these kinds of things. Like, oh, okay, right, okay. Yeah, just interesting.
I guess the closest thing I can think of in time period to it is probably something like The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, which is 1790. So it's, you know, another 40 years before that.
Hmm.
But yeah, like, yeah, it's an interesting time period.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. What is it? Fur trade was just absolutely insane going across everything. And like P.T. Barnum began his first circus. Like, that's the kind of period we're talking about. And there's these two, I find them dichotomous, like, lifestyles that we see, which is like the New York extravaganza of that place and the industrialization or the rapid industrialization of America. And then you get this other one that's being presented here, which is like in the middle of nowhere. There's like a military academy and witchcraft. It's like, cool. Wait, what year is it? Do they have guns? What's going on?
Oh, mate, guns have been around for centuries before this.
mate. Yeah, and we another 50 years before Jack the Ripper shows up. You know, it's sort of, it's a funny sort of time. Enough about the time frame. What did we think of the film?
Ah, good point, Quinny. Well said.
Nobody gives a fuck what it said.
I was starting to wonder what bearing all of this had on the actual plot of the film.
Oh. Yeah,
well, this was one of the things that threw me with the film because I couldn't quite place when or where or how much technology or ideas they had. So it was throwing me a bit just because I was unfamiliar with it, which is always nice to explore new things. But I was looking at like their outfits and stuff and I was like, I can't place where this is. I don't know where the grounding is. Like, I mean, is this part of the time when you would use forensic evidence or was this just kind of the thing they go, looks like they've got witchcraft in their blood. Better burn them just in case. You know, I'm not sure, you know, where we're sort of sitting with it. So that was why I was like, it created another barrier to entry for trying to get to know these people and why they were doing it. Like, why is there a military academy? Because it just looks like they're training a bunch of absolute dicks.
That's like, what military academies are there for.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, is this still part of like, you know, post-colonial hangover syndrome, which is like, if you're from a good family, you should then own at least half of America. That kind of thing. Or, you know, but, you know, it was just weird. And also looking at a bunch of people who are definitely British actors playing Americans. And I was like, oh, that's funny.
I feel like maybe you didn't get into the actual sort of the plot as much as all of these things were kind of throwing you out of it, man.
Yeah, absolutely. That's part of the reason. I was watching it and I was going along with it and I'm like, oh, cool. Okay, they've added Edgar Allan Poe for reasons.
But why?
Yeah.
There it is.
Quoth the raven, but why?
But why?
But why? Is this like an actual like story that it's something that happened to Poe?
No, like, it's a fan fiction.
We've just thrown Poe into
just a like situation. Blonde. Just like Blonde was also a fan fiction. So is The Pale Blue Eye. It is somebody's novel of which they have inserted Edgar Allan Poe into their little fantasy world.
So this should have been AO3 or whatever it is. Or,
mm-hmm.
Like this.
Yeah. It's Twilight Before Twilight.
Who knew that Edgar Allan Poe was going to be the sexy smolder? I mean, is this slash fic?
I
mean,
I did not see any slash happening, no.
Yeah. Well, although, apart from all the stabbing. Sorry.
You know what these boys get up to at West Point.
Well, yes, absolutely.
So a little bit now that we've watched the film.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was one of my – okay, so you guys know that I don't like I love period drama.
Yes.
And everyone's like, oh, Peter likes period drama. Here's a period drama. But I don't like crime. So, now we're on the edge, right?
Oh.
So, like, I don't like murder mysteries and shit. but I do like period drama. So when it is going, what way is this going to go? Like, I don't like Christian Bale, but I do like Gillian Anderson. Which way is this going to go?
Wow.
You're on the knife edge for you here.
Could have gone anyway.
I kind of love it. Everything was up to this. It's like, a crime has been committed. You're like, no, this is taking me completely out of it. I just wanted someone to read. I just wanted someone to write a pretty scathing poem.
But it's a bit like that. And the crime, like, it does not waste any time. I'll give that to it. Like, we are in plot like 2 minutes in. Fuck exposition. Like, fuck a first act, basically.
Yep.
Like, plot just starts happening. And, like, it starts happening so quickly that I had to, like, check the thing and be like, have I, like, started this film halfway through once? What's going on?
It did jump right into it, didn't it? It's kind of like, who's this character? It doesn't matter.
But then, you know, you find out eventually that there are reasons for you not to know things to make the plot work, I suppose. But then does it? That's a question for spoilers. Does it work, though, would be a question that can be asked about this plot. But unfortunately, not due to the quality of the film, but due to the fact that I don't like crime shit. I don't like murder mysteries. I just don't. Unless there is like a good dose of a something else, you know, like a glass onion, like a good dose of a lot of other interesting shit.
Christian Bale is not Benoit Blanc in this.
No.
Although I kind of do want to see him as Benoit Blanc. This could have made an actual, like, interesting prequel. Like, Benoit Blanc.
What if Benoit Blanc had a brother?
Great, 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 great grandfather.
Oh, okay. Now we're writing our own version of this.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Well, let's just spend the rest of our time just writing Benoit Blanc fanfic.
Oh, okay, I'm there.
Okay, quick. Everyone, ratings, we're going straight into Benoit Blanc fanfic. Either way,
as someone that Netflix does enjoy crime, I did like the procedural element of the film. I did feel, however, that there was a great chunk of the story relegated to what happened to the detective's daughter that kind of overshadowed what was actually happening in the crime-solving department, and kind of feels like it fell a bit, like it sagged in the middle for me in terms of like a definitive which story we're trying to follow here.
It was a long film.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Like, I was happy with the outcome of both plot points, but it just kind of felt like the two were competing.
I think structurally it struggles under that duality of trying to tell two stories.
Yeah.
And, I mean, by the time you get into the last act, you're like, oh, shit, oh, now I'm in the last act. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought I was already done with this. And that's a bit kind of difficult at times.
I think the connection between the two stories was discovered too late, that it kind of felt like it was too convenient, if you know what I mean. We can go into it later in spoilers.
Yeah, go into it later, but that comes into my but does it actually work question.
I mean, I quite enjoyed it because it had like a really great cast and an interesting setting. It was like in that unfamiliar part, so there is a little bit of allowance where you're allowed to go wherever with the story. Like, because I wasn't quite sure about what was happening in the world about that time period, and that this sits outside of the known world. It's kind of like a bottle episode, you know. It's this very small, compact area of the planet. This story is happening, and there isn't any other, you know, contributing factor. You sort of have to go like, sure, that could happen. Yeah, I believe that. Like, that could happen there. But yeah, I think you're right. By the time you get to the end, you're just like, did that actually work? Did all those pieces come together? You know, I still look there and go, is there a reason that Gillian Anderson was doing the strangest job? She's a great actor.
I struggled because a couple times writing,
what are you doing?
The social media for this, I was like, do I say that Gillian Anderson is melodramatic as fuck? Because, I mean, is that too harsh? I don't know.
Yeah, do it like
it felt like she was in a slightly different movie.
I think she felt like she was in a comedy.
Well, yes.
And that was weird. Yeah. Maybe she was playing it. It's funny. It's like, it's really not. You should not be playing this person as a comedy.
It is very definitely a feeling of like, you're doing a totally different thing than what Mr. Bale over here is doing.
Yeah.
And I can understand that because she's in scenes with Toby Jones and Tim Spall, who are, you know, sort of character actors who have a particular style. And then, yeah, she's sort of playing off them, but then you're up against very, very straight man.
You're a recut of the film and a few sad trombones away from a Carry On piece. Honestly, that's how I felt like through most of it. I
Carry
was
On
just
up
like,
Satan's anus.
Yeah, pretty much. I was kind of watching it going, this could easily be redone, but it's just not quite taking me where I want it to go.
Yeah, I feel like half the cast were matching Bale's performance and the other half were probably matching Gillian Anderson. Because, I mean, Harry Melling was great and it was kind of cool to see a version of Edgar Allan Poe in visual media. But he was quite different to everybody else in the film.
I actually thought it was great. I thought Henry Melling's portrayal is
Harry.
Well, Henry Cavill. I thought Henry Cavill's performance was great in this. And then Harry Melling. Wait.
But he was like on another wavelength to everyone else. I don't know if it was like I'm the artistic, he kind of like should be drinking absinthe and smoking.
Yeah,
and
I don't know why I liked it, but it actually quite worked. I was sitting there going, how can we have this kind of cool Edgar Allan Poe? It's not going to work. And then by the end of it, I'm like, damn, it kind of fucking works.
I don't know if it really worked for me.
I'd watch another film with him in it as Edgar Allan Poe. Poe Detective.
I would
Crow
probably
detective.
Watch another. Yeah, Edgar Allan Poe becomes, you know, detective guy film. But at the same time, I felt like they were either trying to avoid or trying to hint and do all of that nodded wink, nudge, nudge. Hey, it's Edgar Allan Poe. He's going to say something that's a bit, you know, poetic, or maybe there's going to be a raven sometime.
Yeah, that's why it didn't really sit with me, because I'm like, I was just waiting for that shoe to drop.
I kind of agree with Dan. I quite like Harry Melling's performance, and I feel like if everyone else had matched his tone a bit, I might have enjoyed the whole thing a bit better. But again, that's me just being like, oh, this crime thing isn't doing for me. I need something else. Come on, give me something to enjoy. I did enjoy the performance.
You
it
didn't
might have
enjoy
been
the,
like a bit much.
The love triangle kind of aspect of it? Or not love triangle, but the love story?
Look, I think no.
Love story? It's very contrived.
Yes, that is what I want in a period drama, but no, that did not serve period
what
drama love triangle to me.
The immaculate costumes.
Costumes were nice.
Yeah, I was curious.
Everything
about that.
Military
on the screen
and like the women's Victorian wear was like. Mm.
Oh, good. Yeah, because I looked at that
the
and some
bonnets.
Of them, I was like, oh, that looks a bit weird, or that looks very stylistic, but I don't have enough, you know, understanding.
Like
of
something
it.
That you don't see very often is like women's, like Victorian women's winter wear. Like the big coats and the bonnets and stuff like that. And, yeah, that was giving.
She was another one that was weird because, yeah, like you're trying to invest in the idea that there is a romance there. But I never quite bought it. I don't know. There are a lot of things like that I was like, oh, it's quite good, but I'm not sure I'm buying this or that or... You know, there are a whole bunch of things that I didn't quite gel with me. But the thing is, the look of it, the feel of it, the kind of vibe and everything, I was really digging. Like, I love the cold. I love the you know, design. I love the costumes. I like the period and the feeling of it. But I don't know, it just felt odd.
One thing I didn't really like, I think, was the relationship between Poe and Landor. I really liked that depiction of a friendship
that even though the character of Landor was quite kind of stoic, I enjoyed that they gave that relationship a bit of an arc and you know, made kind of like a softness and a trust between those two characters that I wasn't really expecting that. So that was quite nice. But again, it was more of a Harry Melling thing than a Christian Bale thing for me. But you know me, a Christian Bale was not my thing.
What was it that put you off Christian Bale? What did he do to hurt you?
No, just everyone's like, oh, Christian Bale. And I'm like, yeah, Christian Bale. I think probably the story is about how poorly he treats.
Yeah, for me it was the crew. It was Terminator kind Salvation. Terminator.
Say that again, Dan.
For me, it was Terminator Salvation because that film was just bad. Like even apart from the berating the crew in the background, it's just bad.
The Prestige.
Yeah, like, but that's got Hugh Jackman. So every time you start, you start to get angry with Christian Bale, you just look at Hugh Jackman. You're like, oh, I can't stay mad at Hugh.
I just think like the get that element of like obviously he is a very talented actor, but I think people might froth more over him than is entirely deserved.
Okay,
and that makes me want to go no Christian Bale for anyone.
I always remember him in The Machinist, and it was that thing of like, oh, he's and I feel like it's almost the same thing that it says about Jared Leto, that it's like, oh, he's method and he goes real hard into it, and you know, and exactly, and that's kind of where I'm at. I was like, fuck off, just be an actor.
Yes.
Like you're not very good at your job as an actor if you can't break character when the director yells cut, and then go back into character. When the director yells action, that's part of the job. Sorry. Not sorry. Yeah. I mean, I've read Stanislav. Like, I understand method, but, I just think it's bullshit to use an excuse to treat crew of hundreds of people poorly.
Yeah.
Okay. That's just my opinion. Back to the film. enjoyed the relationship between those two key characters. Didn't really latch on to any of the other relationships in the film, really. Because I feel like the romance was really just Poe becoming infatuated with
never known Edgar. Never known Edgar Allan Poe to be infatuated with a woman at all.
Want to be like, dude, come on. Don't be silly. He was being a bit silly. It made me respect him less, which made me care less about what happened to him.
But also, I just didn't care that much
about this film.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if at any point, like, if we weren't talking about it, I had stopped it and started doing something else, I probably would never have gone back to it and would have been fine with not knowing what happened. Is that bad?
No.
It's not a good sign.
I mean, you know, if Netflix had just come up in the middle of it and just said, are you still watching? You might have at this time just gone, nope.
Actually, no.
Actually, I'm not.
Please present me with something else.
Yeah.
I agree. I finished it because it was one of those ones of it's a Saturday night and there's a new film and it's on Netflix, which makes it easy to access. Let's get some popcorn. Let's sit on the couch and watch the new film. And it was fine. You know, it was, if for whatever reason we'd had to stop watching it, would we have gone back and watched the rest of it? Probably not.
It was hearing that Poe was a character in the film was what got me to watch it because, like every person that watched The Simpsons in the 90s, we're all a little bit obsessed with The Raven, The Telltale Heart, all of that, et cetera.
Really?
So, I mean, we're all basic bitches for Edgar Allan Poe.
Sure. And maybe that's another thing. I wanted more Poe-ness, you know?
More weirdness.
Like, yeah.
More melancholia sitting in the bar going,
No, there was plenty of that shit. I wanted more of that kind of the madness. Because if there's one thing that Poe does, it's it's, you know, madness. It's that whole thing of...
It would have been cool to have seen that, like, maybe this was the circumstances that set him on the path of macabre.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but he was already there.
Yeah.
And, you know, the, all of the things about him, you know, and his dead mother talking to him and stuff like that, you're like...
Yeah. What? Could have lent a bit harder into him being also, a weirdo.
Why was he so happy about that? Oh, yeah, my mum talks to me. She's dead. She died when I was, like, 9. And then just dead look at them. Moving on.
With his eyes slightly too close together.
But I also feel like if you turned that character played by that actor into a series in which Poe does have the supernatural ability to hear from the dead.
That's a whole other in his sleep series.
And uses it to solve crimes, that's a little bit of extra I need. To get into a crime show.
Hey, I'm going to recommend a TV show to you. Have you watched a TV show called True Calling with Eliza Dushku? Because that's exactly what you want.
Yes, God, a long time ago.
Yeah.
I forgot that existed.
You call it Poe Calling.
Oh, no.
Or call the police.
Oh. Going to call the police right now.
Do we need to rate this and then talk spoilers? Because there is like... I feel like we need to talk about the end, which would be really a major spoiler if we did that.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, I'll go first because it's always difficult. But like, I taking marks off a thing. Look, I had a reasonably good time with it, but also, you know, I did find it difficult to get into. So I'm going to sit with a, you know what, solid 75.
Solid
75. Okay. It's not terrible because, I mean, it's got really great things, you know, great cast, great costumes, beautiful scenes and setting. But, yeah, it loses something when it kind of goes to twist. It's also very long. I thought it was very long. How long was it? I forgot. 128 minutes. It feels like a lot.
It feels longer.
I was like, oh, it's only 2 hours. It's 2 hours. Oh, wow. It feels like 3 hours, but it is only 2 hours. Because it
definitely feels longer than 2 hours.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, there you go.
I rate all the same points that Dion does, but I'm going to give it 65 just because the plot and the storyline just didn't really quite punch as hard as it could have. And it felt a little bit boring to me. I did enjoy it. And by the time it got to the ending, I was a little bit, oh, that was a little bit predictable. But, you know, it was fine. It's enjoyable. But yeah.
Look, I think aesthetically, in terms of production design, in terms of cinematography, it's top notch. I'm glad to hear you guys say that because I was like, oh, is it like just because crime isn't my thing that I'm not getting into this? Am I being mean just because it's not my genre? But just didn't hate watching it. I didn't hate watching it. Like it was there, it existed, it was a thing. But I just didn't enjoy watching it either. So that doesn't sound like a very high rating, does it? That's maybe like a 63 for me.
63, okay. I had a very similar sort of thing where it was like, that was definitely a film that existed that I have watched. I enjoyed looking at it. I liked the visuals. I liked the location. I got confused by the distances at times, like where Christian Bale was apparently able to go home and it may have taken half an hour, it may have taken a day's travel, I'm not sure which. Like how far it was from his cabin to West Point, I don't know, but that really confused me at one point. Just a perfectly pretty serviceable film that has the bones of something really interesting about it, but then doesn't do it. And what it does do is kind of careen off into the weird melodrama at one point that also doesn't work. So, yeah, for me, I think it's a 65. Yeah. It's fine. Which I know is the kind of thing that, you know, on a podcast, you don't want people to be like, eh. Come on, have some strong feelings about it. Okay. The hats were nice.
Oh, okay. Then we will.
Good bonnets.
We're good bonnets.
And on that, let's go to a clip and look at the two men talking about bonnets.
Yeah. Take this job. You told me you never had dealings with Leroy Fry, so let's start there.
Well, that's not entirely true.
Well, why is nothing simple with you, Poe? Where are the facts? Where are the simple facts? Yes or no? The truth. Did you know Leroy Fry?
Yes.
Did you have words with Leroy Fry?
Yes. Yes.
Did you kill Leroy Fry? Did you kill Randolph Ballinger? Did you have anything to do with the desecrating of their bodies?
No. May I be
but
stupid?
You do They're not different. Deny that you threatened both men.
Well, as it relates to Ballinger, that was... I never meant it.
And Fry?
I never once threatened him. I merely...
There is a very disturbing pattern here, Poe. Men who cross you end up on the wrong end of a noose with rather important organs carved from their chests.
Mr. Landor... If I were to kill every cadet who had abused me during my brief tenure here, I'm afraid you would find the Corps of Cadets reduced to less than a dozen. Now, if you must know, I've been a figure of fun from my very first day here. My manner, my age, my person, my... aesthetics. If I had a thousand lifetimes, I could not begin to redress all the injuries that have been done to me. Yes, I'm guilty of a great many things, but never that. Never murder.
Oh, yes, that's right. Sad boy Poe. We'll never.
Do you
never
feel
do
like
murder,
if we
sir?
Were from Virginia, we would be taking issue with that accent?
Hey, I'm the Raven, never flitting. Yeah, I don't know.
Probably.
Like I say, what the fuck are these accents? I don't know where they're from. I mean, yes, mine was shit. There's no question about that. But I don't know where the fuck they're from.
Yeah,
Virginia.
I don't think anyone knows where they're from. But yeah, all right, okay, we're in spoiler territory now in case you have or haven't seen this. I don't really know if I really care enough to not spoil things for you. Well, there's a twist at the end.
I mean, first of all, it gets very melodramatic in a way that's fairly television, in my opinion. Like, it gets very dramatic in a very, like, Vampire Diaries-esque way.
Sure.
First, with all the whole, you know, satanic ritual.
Oh, yeah.
Julian Anderson, you know, family heart sacrifice.
And this was the sort
basement
of,
thing that's going on there.
This was the sort of thing that freaked me out about it. Like, this is why I didn't really understand what time period it was being set in, because it was like, yes, we're like a post Civil War colonial society. Everything's quite fine and it's close to the 1900s. And yet it is like, well, 1830s, closer to the 1900s than, you know.
Yeah, it was the Civil War before or after this, though.
Before.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't the Civil War before? I don't know.
No, the War of Independence was 1776.
That's better. Sorry, the War of Independence was 1776.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's a bit early for Civil War.
Yeah.
No, Civil War only came out.
There's no Cap. There's no Bucky.
Yeah, yeah. What the fuck? Only came out like 2015. What are you talking about? Yeah, but I'm just kind of like, I get a bit freaked out when I was just thinking, what do they do for medical things? It's like, well, here's a poor girl. She obviously has epilepsy. And all they've decided for that is we need sacrifice, human sacrifice to cure the epilepsy. And I'm like, okay, that's a bit of a jump, but sure.
Yeah. And I mean, we're virtually 150 or 180 years after the Salem witch trials too, like, which are 1699 or something like that. So, you know, how far have we come? And once again, we're back to the setting and the time period and who gives a fuck?
And this is like, there's like a massive jump also between two scenes where it's like, you'd do anything for me, right? And then Poe is just kind of like laying there when they're about to do whatever they're about to do.
Human sacrifice?
The assumption is that he's been drugged, I guess, maybe?
Or suffering blood loss?
But that would mean that he did the blood loss voluntarily?
Yeah, I think he was like really just gung-ho on this girl.
All I know is that Gillian Anderson absolutely ate her way through the scene proceeding and then came out later and you're like, where did you go?
I'm just going to sit down here in this flaming room and scream.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like she was playing to the script at that stage. Yeah. Like it got very melodramatic and her performance was appropriate.
I loved I think it's either the first or second time she shows up and, like, you know, there's Christian Bale bailing and Toby Jones walks into the shot and is like, nah. And then Gillian Anderson just kind of swans and goes, oh, hello. And you're like, oh, shit, okay. Yeah. Hi, Gillian, what are you doing? Oh, okay, you're giving it that much. Cool.
All teeth and kind of like, you're not playing Thatcher again, darling. But, yeah, I mean, it's a strange kind of a thing because you're presented with two sort of distinct reasonings behind stuff. And one of them I found was just off the chain, like the human sacrifice stuff and the witchcrafty stuff was just kind of like, that's weird. And then after the twist comes and that kind of a little bit tired and trite motivation gets rolled out, you're like, oh, okay, that's it. Like, that's the real reason, that which is completely a little bit more normal and doesn't have, you know, what do you say? It's like, imagine that if you were a murderer and you wanted to go and you just started murdering a bunch of people and then you'd blamed it on aliens and convinced everyone that it was definitely aliens that did it for a few different things. Like, that's how I can't look at it.
You know, the fact that there was so much coincidence required, yeah. You know, like, here is Christian Bale very upset about a thing, you know, the death of his daughter. And, sorry, we're deep in spoilery. So if you really don't want to know, sorry.
The spoiler logo's, you know, up.
Yeah, he's literally using a secretive cabal of weird Satan worshippers to cover the fact that he is, you know, trying to kill off the people who abused his daughter, who raped her. And you're like...
Like, which he's doing 100% on the fly because he did not plan to use these people to do this at all. He's murdered one person. Coincidentally, that person has then had their heart stolen by, well, I don't really know why what's his face needed to pretend to be an officer when the coroner was already on it. Like, I don't really that was a bit of a butt lie.
Drink.
And then he's just kind of gone with it, which, like, fine, I guess. But what breaks in a little bit for me is that for a twist to be satisfying, for a twist of that magnitude to be satisfying, there need to have been breadcrumbs. You can be like, oh, I saw that and I didn't realize the connection once the twist is revealed.
And there literally were none, though.
No.
Yeah.
So it really just was just happens that, and then to be, he woke up.
Yeah, but Poe knew the whole time. I'm like, did he?
Did he?
No, he did not. Like, he had no fucking idea.
If he knew, he wouldn't have been strung up by this girl and almost had his heart ripped out, surely.
Yeah. Yeah. And it also
no, it's like, just dumb.
Yeah. It is interesting though that the film has to become structurally unsound. Like when you're talking, you know, three act structure and all that kind of stuff, and what we were talking about before about how you kind of dumped into the middle of a narrative, the film has to become structurally unsound or unusual for the contrivance of this twist to work. You know, you have to skip all of the buildup of character development for Landor so that you can do a big twist reveal that then doesn't work because you haven't actually.
The way they could have set it all up was you have the exposition in the opening scene, which is the story of his daughter dying, and then you throw him into the investigations at West Point. You'd leave that little hint of like, oh, it could be connected to this. And then you're like, oh, okay. So maybe he's like trying to solve two crimes at once.
And then we would have known from the beginning then that the entire plot is based on a fridging and not retrospectively at the end.
Yes. And we have fixed it for you. Netflix, you're welcome.
You're welcome. Yeah.
And that is a disappointing thing as well, isn't it? It's like, yep. And here's another story about men getting revenge because, a sexual assault and you know, the woman just being unable to deal with it and therefore ending her own life. And you're like, really? Fucking hell. Can there be a better story? Can we find a better motivation?
Yeah, you're willing to go for human sacrifice and weird shit and go a little bit crazy with it, but then when it comes down to it, it was like, ah, it turns out it was the same old thing. Like, look in this cupboard of storylines.
Let's take the oldest and dustiest one and use that.
Beautiful.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Smell the vellum. So dusty.
Yeah, I know. That's why it sits well in that pantheon of Netflix films. It's like, oh, well, this looks like it has an interesting cast. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's fine.
It does have that Netflixy kind of thing, doesn't it? Where it's like it the ending suddenly turns it into not a 100% like a prestige drama.
See, technically speaking, this film is set in the Victorian era, which makes it also fit with Enola Holmes, technically.
But what year is Enola Holmes set? Because Victorian era is a wide gap, my friend.
Yeah,
Victorian era is only about 60 years, but we could make that work. Maybe at some point, you know.
What happens in 60 years?
Yeah, maybe it turns out that actually all along the Holmeses are actually the children of the Poes. So Edgar Allan Poe had three kids, Mycroft, Sherlock, and Enola. That's where it all stems from.
Well, yeah, okay. Enola was based in 1888.
Come on, come on, Netflix, make it happen.
Yeah, very, very far apart from Poe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's
pretty. That's the best I've got for it. It's pretty.
A perfectly serviceable film.
Yes.
Sure.
Although, you know, if you did want to watch stuff with Edgar Allan Poe, I highly recommend going back and watching the Simpsons episodes.
Which episode, which number Treehouse of Horrors was it?
I can't remember which number of Treehouse of Horror it was, but it did have James Earl Jones reading it. That's made it the fun one, and Bart as the Raven.
Yeah.
Nevermore.
Yeah. Nevermore. Oh, dear. Anyone else got any thoughts on this? You good? You done with the pale blue eyes?
I'm done.
Yes. In the what is it? In the land of the blind, the pale blue eyed man is king.
Does that make sense?
What?
That's a good. There you go. That's a thinker. That's what I call a thinker.
One to leave them on, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. What have we got coming up next week?
Next week is Singles Awareness Day. And we will be doing rom-coms and chill.
Yay! Yep. Rom-coms is very and exciting. Chill. Have you got your rom-coms lined up? Do you know what you want to talk about?
I don't
about?
Know what I'm going to pick. I still don't know what I'm going to pick.
Yay, another clip show.
Yay. As someone who spent a lot of their cynical youth hating rom-coms, I've done a full 180 and now I can't choose which one I want to talk about.
Can we have a limit? Can we have an agreed limit?
Yes.
To the rom-com?
Yes. Yes. I think maybe we should just pick one and just have a few.
Just one
honorable
each?
Mentions. Yeah, one each and
one,
just
one
say,
each for a clip and a few honorable mentions that you want to talk about. What are good rom-coms?
Exactly.
And what's, like, unlike what we did for the 300th show about what is a trilogy, can we have a definition about what a rom-com is, please?
Yeah, if the description on the streaming service defines it as either comedy or romantic, then you're fine.
Okay, right.
Technically,
both is a win.
Because technically The Lighthouse is a rom-com.
I figured we were more aiming at Must Love Dogs as opposed to
classic.
Yeah.
What about You've Got Mail? Is that a rom-com?
Yes, it is.
I mean,
I've
yes.
got male pattern baldness.
Not a rom-com.
No, no. A disappointing stage in my life. Yes. So that should be a whole bunch of fun. Feel free, bring your chockies. I heartily endorse if you find yourself in single and unwilling to mingle. come join us on the interwebs, have a chockey, and
spread some love in the chat. Maybe invite someone to the chat here on Twitch for, as a first date. It's like, hey, I watch Twitch.
So cute.
Yeah.
We can do TPTOA speed dating in the chat.
Oh my god. Oh, that'll go so well. that'd be great. It's gonna just set the moderator to off for that night. Off you go.
Mods asleep. Speed dating. Do it. Oh, I love it. Okay.
Amazing.
Well, that looks like it's gonna be a whole bunch of fun. What say we go and raid some people?
Should we play out on a little clip? I can play a little clip, and then you will eventually like switch over to doing the raid to someone.
We'll go and raid Hex. They're doing Dark and Darker.
Yeah,
in theme with Poe.
In reference to
the sequel to Dumb and Dumber.
Yes.
In the way that I mentioned The Simpsons earlier. Sorry, Peter, you got ooh.
I was going to say, if you don't want to do that, go and watch the third episode of Wild Odyssey.
Oh, yeah.
Hey. ABC
TV. Go watch the third episode of Wild Odyssey.
If you can't be asked to do that, you can just binge all three episodes on iView whenever you want.
Yeah. In fact, do it 3 or 4 times so the numbers look great.
There's no problem with just leaving it on your computer when you go to work every day. Okay, bye. I'm going to roll out to this clip because we mentioned it a bit earlier. It is the Simpsons one until we probably get banned for playing Simpsons clips, but that's all right. Lovely to see you all again. We'll see you all next week.
Okay, bye.
Wandered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore. While I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly came a tapping. As of someone gently rapping at my chamber door.
To some visitor,
I muttered.
Tapping at my chamber door. Only this and nothing more.
Are we scared yet?
Bard, he's establishing mood.
Ah, distinctly I remember. It was in the bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow. Vainly I had sought to borrow from my books surcease of sorrow.
Huh? Huh?
Sorrow for the lost Lenore.
Oh, Lenore.
For the rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore, nameless here forevermore. The silken, sad, uncertain rustling of each purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before. So that now, to still the beating of my heart, I stood repeating,
"'Tis a visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. This it is, and nothing more."
Presently, my soul grew stronger, hesitating then no longer.
"Sir,"
said I,
"or madam, truly your forgiveness I implore. But the fact is I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly you came tapping at my chamber door, that I scarce was sure I heard you."
Here I opened wide the door.
"This better be good."
Darkness there, and nothing more.
Huh?
You know what would have been scarier than nothing?
What?
Anything!
Back into the chamber turning, all my soul within me burning. Soon again I heard a tapping, something louder than before.
Surely,
said I.
Surely that is something at my window lattice. Let me see then what thereat is and this mystery explore.
Open here I flung the shutter, when with many a flirt and flutter, in there stepped a stately raven of the saintly days of yore. Not the least obeisance made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he, but with mien of lord or lady, perched above my chamber door, perched upon a bust of Pallas just above my chamber door, perched and sat, and nothing more.
Don't I crest be shorn and shaven, thou?
I said.
Adjure, no craven, ghastly, grim, and ancient raven wandering from the nightly shore. Tell me what thy lordly name is on the night's Plutonian shore.
Quoth the raven.
Eat my shorts.
Bart, stop it. He says nevermore, and that's all he'll ever say.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table Podcast. If you have comments, feedback, questions, or suggestions, email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. From our website, you can find our Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook links, as well as ways to donate to the show if you're feeling generous. And of course, you can join in the show live on Tuesday and Friday nights on our Twitch channel. Until next time, stay awesome!